Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 to 21. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 to 21. And today we're going to find out that wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom is better than rubies. Let's read. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, in this passage, before we comment on it, let's recognize that this thing is pretty well neatly divided into about three sections. The first section has to do with the evil that comes from trying to gain wealth without wisdom, and the wealth, by comparison, that can be gained through witty inventions and evil is not even close to being compared with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and prudence. In the second section, we find that wisdom is the thing by which kings and princes reign and rule, and judges of the earth do judgment. And then we find that if riches really are your interest, with wisdom, you obtain riches that last forever. And we're going to study this passage, basically looking at those three sections. But, you know, let's think about something for just a minute. Men are allured by wealth, and so are women. I mean men, not gender, but just the human beings, are allured by wealth. There's no two ways about it. You get magazines at the house, and you get commercials on the television, and you get advertisements in the newspaper, and you get advertisements in the billboards, you get advertisements on the internet, and these advertisements are for you to spend your money on buying something that you can possess. Men seek wealth, and the more the merrier. A little bit about the retired chairman of Exxon receiving a $400 million retirement package. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, what's he going to do with all that money? And yet, that's the measure of his success. And when he has lived out his life, he's going to be through with that money and he'll have to leave it to someone else, whatever's left of it. He can only hold on to it for the few years that he has left on this earth. And according to this text, he would be better off with wisdom and the knowledge of God than he would with all of that money. But you're not going to get him to believe that. You're not going to get many people to believe that today. Just think of it this way. If today it were possible to make this offer to everybody, you would find, I don't know what percentage of people, 95, 97, 98, 99% of the people, I don't know, would go the direction of money before they'd go the direction of wisdom. And here's how you'd test them. You say, now right here is a pot full of money. There's $100,000 in money in this pot right here. Gold, silver, jewels, currency, whatever. But there it is right there. The only stipulation is you can't use any of that money to buy a Bible or any of the money that can be made from that Bible. In the other part of the scale is a Bible, a good old-fashioned King James Bible. Now, here's the proposition. You say to every man or woman to whom you make this offer, you can have that $100,000 in money right there, or you can have that King James Bible right there. But remember, if you get the money, you can't use the money or any of the proceeds of the money to buy you a Bible. How many of them do you think would take the money? How many of you them do you think would take the Bible? Well, you can figure it for yourself, but, you know, 90-some-odd percent, maybe 100% are going to take that money. If the choice is either or, they'll take that money. But the true value is in the words of the Bible, not in that money, according to this text. According to this text, you'd be better off with the wisdom of that Bible than you would with the money in that pot. There are lots and lots of verses about this in the Bible. I'm going to give you a few of them, and then we're going to analyze the text. Because everything we're saying here today concerns what's in the text anyway. Jesus Christ asked a question one time, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Jesus Christ asked this question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All right. Well, it wouldn't profit him anything because he's going to wind up in hell. In other words, you could say, look, I'm going to give you all the oil in all the reserves in Alaska and Iran and Iraq and Israel, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Russia, United States of America, all over the world, Mexico, Venezuela, anywhere in South America. We give you all of the oil reserves in the world. I'm going to give you all of the diamonds in the world, all of the gold, all of the silver. I'm going to give you all of the money and all of the banks in the world. I'm going to give you all of the buildings, all of the houses, all of the cars, all of the planes, all of the land. I'm going to give you everything in the world. Do you know anybody like that? I do. You know, Forbes publishes the list of the top, 400 or 500 wealthiest men in the world. I know somebody that's wealthier than all of them put together, personally. You do too. You just may not be thinking of who it is. But there is a man that has the whole world. You know who it is? It's the devil. The devil has it all. Now, what has it profited him? For 6,000 years, he will have ruled. And then he's going to wind up in a pit, chained for 1,000 years. He's going to come out for one last hurrah, and then he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And the wealth will no longer be his. He told the Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him that he had power over all of it, all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory, and he could give it to whomsoever he would. He's had it all, and he lost his soul. What was it worth to him? Absolutely nothing. Temporary. So what would it be worth to you to have some of it? We said a Bible versus $100,000. What about a Bible versus $1 million, or a Bible versus 10 million, or a Bible versus 400 million? You'd be better off without the 400 million, be a lot better off with that Bible and with that Bible to follow its wisdom and have eternal life. Jesus Christ made it just fine down here, and he didn't have a dime. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. I'll show you what Jesus Christ thinks of it. A friend of mine came to me one time. He's dead now, but he said, you want to find out about money and what God thinks about money? Just consider how much of it Jesus Christ had, and that'll let you know what God thinks about money. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, we're reading in the middle of a context of a rich young ruler that came to Jesus Christ seeking eternal life. And this is what Jesus told him. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now that's not the method of salvation today. Jesus Christ told this fellow in verse 17, keep the commandments. That's the way to have eternal life. You can't do that and have eternal life today. But in this man's particular case, he knew that the root cause of this man's problem was covetousness. He told him, go ahead then, sell everything you have, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. It'd give him eternal life. He didn't do it. The man was rich, and he walked away sorrowful. What happened to him? He was allured by his wealth and thought without the wealth, there's no way that he could make it here. And the sad thing is, he missed out on eternal life, and he missed out on treasure in heaven, because the Lord said, you give it up here, I'll let you have it later. Treasure in heaven. The man lacked wisdom, and he needed that wisdom more than he needed that wealth. Look in Luke chapter 12, and I'll show you something very interesting. Somebody gave me a sign one time that I've got around here somewhere, and it says, work for the Lord. The pay is not very high, but the retirement plan is out of this world. Now I'm going to show you something. In Luke chapter 12, actually I probably got ahead of myself a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to show you that thing. But look in Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. Here's a man that started accumulating a lot of wealth and he didn't know what to do with it. He had what we call a bumper crop. I was preaching somewhere and I was preaching about a bumper crop and everybody was laughing. And I asked him why. They didn't know what a bumper crop, they didn't know what a bumper was. They'd never heard of a man growing bumpers. A bumper crop, obviously, is an excessive yield, way more than what you expected. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast so provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's a man that had all of that and neglected his soul. He couldn't have been a dummy to accumulate all that wealth. But he was a fool because he didn't consider that his soul was going to be required of him that night. His wisdom and knowledge of God would have been better than all the wealth that he had gained. We're in the book of Proverbs, so go back over to Proverbs chapter 23 and look at verses 4 and 5. We're just hearing from God today a great sobering message. Americans are turned on by money, and Americans in churches are turned on by money because their preachers are turned on by money. I go to the hospital from time to time and visit with folks that are sick. I went by there the other day to see a lady that was in the hospital, and I parked in the clergy spot in my old 215,000-mile, 1995 Suburban. I'm not saying that to be proud of it. We've got other vehicles besides that, but that's the one I drive. And happy to drive it. It still runs. Thank God for that. And parked next to me in the other clergy spot was a new Mercedes-Benz, lavender-colored coupe. A clergyman or a clergywoman. And I thought to myself, if they come driving up in that sexy automobile at church, the people are going to get the idea that the benefit of knowing God is the accumulation of wealth. Well, it's no wonder people are turned on by money in churches. Their preachers are turned on by money. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, leaves us with a sobering message. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, most of the wealth in the United States of America is a computer entry on a piece of paper. Seriously, you get a statement from the bank. It is a number that represents a balance that you have on record with the computer at the bank. You can't go to the vault and withdraw that money. The money's not in there. Not if you and everybody else goes in there. It is simply a number on a computer with which you can transact business by online banking, or by transfer of funds, or by writing a check, or by a debit card. And all of those are simply papers with numbers on them. There's no real wealth there, not when you think about it. And one of these days, people are going to wake up that and realize that their possessions are really represented by numbers on a piece of paper. And when they get scared about that, and people will get concerned about the fact that the United States dollar is nothing more than a debt instrument that is represented by a country that is heavily indebted, what is it now, $8 trillion of direct debt, not including all the indirect debt? People are going to say, hey, I don't want that dollar anymore. I don't want that check in United States dollars anymore. And when that happens, you're going to see what the verse is about when it says, riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Here today, gone tomorrow. Take heed, the Lord said, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why Paul told Timothy, when he was giving him instructions on how to handle rich folks, he told him, he said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, here today, gone tomorrow. I know you don't believe it. I know you don't want to believe it, but that's what he said. He said they make wings and fly away. He said the riches are uncertain. When the stock market goes volatile on you, it is because of uncertainty in the economy. Well, I'm going to tell you something that is certain about the uncertainty in the economy. It is going to go bust one of these days. I don't want it to happen in my lifetime. Hey, but it could. And if you don't have any more than that pot full of money, you're going to find out just how broke you really are. He said, you charge them not to be high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You got to trust in the living God, and the only way you're going to do that is by wisdom. So, having heard all of those things, why, according to the text, is wisdom better than rubies? Well, because with wisdom, first of all, you won't do evil. In our text, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, when he says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Jesus Christ was wisdom personified, and he didn't have any money, and he got through this world 33 and a half years fine. And purchased for us on Calvary our salvation fine, and multitudes of millions of people are going to be in heaven as a result of what he did. And he could have never done that with money. He says in verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And you know something? The truth of the matter is, much money is made by trickery, by sleight of hand, by crafty tongues, by witty inventions. And when people obtain wealth, they often do it by a froward mouth and an evil way. Look what he says in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The end result of somebody that has obtained their wealth by a froward mouth and an evil way is pride and arrogance. I was talking to a Christian businessman one time. And we're talking about the way that men do business. And he said, the way things are these days with taxes like they are, and business the way that it is, he said, you necessarily have to bend the rules. I think that was a mild way of putting what he said. I think he put it stronger than that. But anyway, I'll say it that way. You have to bend the rules in order to make money these days. Cheating on taxes would be qualified as bending the rules, for an example. He said, you're going to have to do that if you're going to make. And let me tell you something. The Lord said about that, he said, I hate the froward mouth and the evil way. A man putting on a sales pitch, they call it, in order to sell something. And an evil way, a shenanigan, something that is corrupt in order to get you to buy. It's a bad deal, bad business. Wisdom is better than that. Why? Because you won't do evil. Men that have obtained their wealth, and I'm not saying they do it that way by hook and by crook every time. Hey, but most of the time they do. More times they do than don't. And he said here, he says that the Lord hates pride and arrogance. And if you've ever been around people that have hit the mother load, got a bunch of money, they're hard to be around because of their pride and arrogance. It's just tough to be around them. I've seen a lot of it. Being in the banking business before I got in the ministry, I saw a lot of it. Lots of pride, lots of arrogance. And lots of witty inventions. The Lord won't bless that. He won't reward that. God said about that widow that gave those two mites, she gave the greatest gift. Remember that? Because she gave all of her living. You know, she depended totally and absolutely upon the Lord and not upon all this other witty stuff in order to make it. I'll tell you another reason that wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom is better than rubies because with wisdom you can rule. Look what he says in verse 14. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. That's how men rule, by wisdom. And a man that's gotten real wisdom, who knows how to rule, is going to, and is well-disciplined, and is not a lazy man, he's going to make it. He's going to make it, no matter how much money he has. They say, them that has the gold makes the rules. But you know something? Their rule is temporary, and our rule is forever. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. A man that rules, take the President of the United States of America, that's a big position. And a lot of people fawn all over themselves to get his handshake autograph or a picture taken with him, or to be seated with him at some sort of a high roller's dinner. But he's only going to be in office 8 years, and then he's going to be done. Oh, he may make the speaker circuit and all those other kind of things and have a lot of wealth for years to come, but his rule is done. It's always short-lived. But with you and I, by wisdom, by getting saved, our reign is going to be forever. Look at it. In Revelation chapter 5, we see the saints in verse 9. For thou wast slain, verse 9 says right in the middle, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, look at it, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now how long is the Lord going to reign on this earth? 1,000 years. That's a lot longer than any president of any country or any king of any country has ever ruled, even if he ruled 70 years. You're going to rule with him on this earth 1,000 years. That's something else. You get that by wisdom, not by wealth. That's why wisdom far exceeds wealth. And then this. Wisdom is better than rubies because with wisdom you obtain riches that last forever. Look at verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Those things have to do with something that's eternal. Now, a lot of these preachers today have duped a lot of their parishioners into simply thinking that serving God now means wealth now. And certainly God blesses, and certainly there are many testimonies of people that have done better by serving the Lord than they did by serving the devil. But that's not what this is about. This is about durable riches and about inheriting substance and holding on to it forever. And it talks about inheritance in verse 21. We're talking about something far greater than any gold and silver that you can accumulate down here, or any entry on a computer record at the bank that you can accumulate down here. We're talking about durable riches, and that comes from wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you had enough wisdom to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and to follow what he said in this book, you got something coming for you that money down here doesn't even compare with. Look what he says in verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What does he keep? He keeps the gold, he keeps the silver, and he keeps the precious stones. That's what he gets. In Luke chapter 19, there's a parable of the pounds. And I just want you to notice one verse of the parable, because you're probably familiar with it. That's a parable where everybody got a pound, and then they reckoned with the master, and one had 10 and one had 5, and the other one hid his. All right, the one that had 10 got another one. The Bible says that guy that hid his, in verse 24, Luke chapter 19, he said, "Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds." Well, that means that the guy that started with a pound that was his master's and caused that pound to grow into 10 pounds got to keep the 10 pounds and was given the pound of another guy that was too lazy to work his. The Lord didn't get any of it back. Inheritance. Pounds, money, pounds sterling, silver, gold, silver, precious stones, pounds, and 5 crowns. If you study your Bible and get the word crown in your concordance and run it through the New Testament, you're going to find out there are 5 crowns that await saved sinners at the judgment seat of Christ. The crown of righteousness for loving the Lord's appearing. The crown of rejoicing for winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The crown of glory for feeding sheep. The crown of life for enduring temptation. And the incorruptible crown for keeping your body under. You'll find all 5 of them. And those crowns you'll get to keep forever. Now let me tell you something. If it comes down to you spending time in that Bible, gaining wisdom from God, and spending time in the church pew, gaining wisdom from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, versus you busting your behind to get a little more money, you better cool back on the accumulation of wealth and start submitting yourselves to the wisdom of God. And get into this book and follow what it says, because therein lies the durable riches that come from wisdom. And that wisdom is far greater than any rubies and gold and silver that can be accumulated on this side of glory. And I hope you take it to heart.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.